Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Dr. Becker.
Amen.
Amen.
So how many of you have just received something great during this marriage series? Amen. Wasn't it amazing? By now, for those of you that's been married for a while, you know that marriage takes faith. Okay, there's a few loud amens here. Come on, is it true?
Yes.
Marriage takes faith, but it also takes work. That's the part you don't really want to know about. But the fact is that any marriage, if you want to have a successful marriage, you're going to have to work at it.
That is a pretty cool tool belt that you have on there.
I think so.
Okay, so you are saying probably, what's with the two belts? I think pink is nicer. Girls, what do you say?
Definitely pink, more sexy.
Pink
for sure.
Is cool. Okay. Yes. So, listen, when you get married, the day you get married, it is almost like getting a tool belt. You say what you say, you make a commitment before the Lord, and you get a tool belt, and you think, I'm good now. I've got a tool belt going, I've got the license, like Pastor had said, and I'm ready for marriage. But those of you who have gone through this know that's the furthest thing from the truth. And we just want to, with this visual, just wrap up this beautiful series with so much truth and so many tools that have been handed to you over the last 4 weeks. And if you have missed any one of them, we encourage you to go back and go and listen. Listen, because it is like a tool belt. When you are married, you should have a tool belt tight around your waist and gather tools for the specific jobs that need to be done in a marriage. Just like a tool belt, you need certain tools for certain projects. It's the same way in marriage. There come times that you're facing issues and you think, oh my goodness, what do I do? Or you do what you thought you would do, you get no results, or you think this tool belt, you mistake it for, instead of tools, you think these are weapons. And my grandbaby, before we left the house, he asked his mommy, Mommy, is Oma gonna hit Opa with a hammer? So, I mean, he's like 4 years old. Now, these are, but we misuse sometimes. We misuse the tools. There's a certain way that God wants us to act. God's word has given us very specific tools for very specific situations, and we just want to encourage you to never stop learning. Come to the marriage events. Don't miss a service. Take what you've learned the last 4 weeks. Put it in your tool belt and hold it tight, because for sure is for sure, you're going to need it. You know, Proverbs 14, it's the 14th today, if you do the Proverbs Day reading, says, the first verse says, a wise woman builds her house, but a foolish one breaks it down with her own hands. So it is a process of building, although the guy sometimes gets it wrong and they go to the fixing side of things.
Well, even when you try to fix some things in a marriage, how many of you know that things can get a little tricky? I have a little video for you to remind you about that. Watch this.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless, and I don't know if it's gonna stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever gonna stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen.
No, see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like there's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
Yeah, that sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on, ow. If you would just-
Don't!
Try to see things my way.
Husbands, you find yourself in some tricky situations, right? And thank God, the Word of God is very clear for us that there's an answer for that too. Look at what the Word says for all of us. Listen to Scripture in 1 Peter 3, verse 7. It says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with what? Oh, my goodness. Now I have a problem, because in my understanding, all that needs, I need to just, you know, do, I mean, I see that nail, right? And all I need to do is just fix it. But that's not what that scripture says. That scripture says that we need to dwell with them with understanding. And, you know, when scripture talks about understanding like that, God's desire for us to dwell with them in a way that we love them enough to understand that we are different. Right? Totally different. And at times we just need to say, God, I don't get it, but I'm going to love her any which way. Because your desire for me as a husband is to accept her the way she is, give her the space to be who she is, and to provide security for her in spite of that thing that I just want to fix, right?
Well, let me just clear it up for the girls. This is what the girls think when he just keeps addressing the nail. Maybe you guys sitting there and still don't understand it. Well, let me try to help you out. When he talks about the nail in my head, I get to a point that I'm thinking, seriously, there is all of me. I do all these things, I'm trying to be the wonderful wife, but now you are finding that one thing, and it's not really that bad either. That one thing, why do you have to focus in on the one thing and try to fix me? Women usually do not want to be fixed. What do women want? They want you to listen to them, to create safety for them. There's a huge trust issue. And you know what scripture, if you continue with that chapter, 1 Peter 5, also 3, also says, for in this manner, in former times, the holy women, and I have not really focused on that before. That scripture talks about submission. But the scripture says, holy women, as in the past, that they submitted, but check this out. What does it say first? It says, who trusted in God also adorned themselves being submissive to their own husbands. And that just kind of jumps out of the page that us as women need to really get to that point that we lay it down, that we submit ourselves, not always because we trust our husband, because things sometimes can hurt. But if we obey God in obeying, it is because we trust God. And the outcome is to God. So there are times that I don't want to be fixed, but I have to come under and I have to say, okay, Lord, I am going to submit. I'm going to let him do what he needs to do in order to honor you, because it takes trust. It takes trust. And I just want to encourage you, if there are some of you in here that says, I can just not trust. If I could just trust my husband, I can just go along with everything that he wants to do. But it's never really going to happen. It is when you trust God and do what God tells you to do, then you can submit the way that God wants you to submit.
And that's what God is saying. Put down the pliers and just love her. So here's the best tool in your tool belt, is just to share.
Just gain some points for this.
Love. Yes. To love them any which way they are. Amen? And tonight, that's why you're here. You're here to sit at God's table, because believe me, many times you will come to situations where your own human strength can just not cut it. You get to the end of your rope, so to speak. And you need the power of God to help you in any kind of relationship. Thank God for His love that He poured out for all of us, enabling us to be able to also love those around us. Amen? That's what we see very clearly in Scripture. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. John 15, verse 13. So at this time, we are going to participate in communion. We are blessed to be able to sit at God's table. I'm going to ask the ushers to go ahead and pass out the communion elements at this time. Because believe me, there is no better way for you and me to be able to partake and take in that very love that God gave to each and every one of us, enabling us to really care about one another and love one another the way He would want for us to do that. So I'm going to go straight to 1 Corinthians 11. If you're turning your Bibles there with me, while they're still passing that out, Paul very clearly tells us, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you do in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the blood of the body and the blood of the Lord. So, you see, as a pastor, I cannot stop after I read about the elements, what they're all about, and not continue on the way Paul wants us to have a stern warning about what we are about to do. And I want you to really pay attention and listen to what Paul is saying to us here. He's saying, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eat and drink in an unworthy manner, eat and drink judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep, which means they have died. So, Paul is saying, therefore, verse 27, let's go back there. Therefore, what does the word therefore means? It means what I just said about the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The love that God showed by sharing or giving us His only Son to die on the cross. That kind of love, because of that great love that you are partaking in right now. Therefore, you better make sure that your heart is right. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup in an unworthy manner. Unworthy manner, what does that mean? Unworthy manner means that I am going to just sit and eat and drink at the table of the Lord and, you know, treat it as if it's common. When you treat anything about God as common, you're in big trouble. Especially when it comes to the love of God that cost so much. The sacrifice of Jesus dying on the cross, paying the price for you and me. Listen, you can never treat that as common. We have to make sure that we understand when we sit at God's table, that great love that He poured out for us, we need to treat it as something very, very special. And that's why tonight, you know, we have communion. And here at The Rock, we don't have communion like some churches every weekend. Why? Because we really don't want for it to become something that's just ritual or common. This is special. Sitting at God's table is special. And tonight, please understand, God's love is here. When you're partaking of the elements, God's love is very real right here. The symbols that you are going to partake in, as you partake in that, it becomes part of you. And so listen to what Paul warns you to do. Don't partake in an unworthy manner, he says, because you will be guilty. Someday you'll stand before that great white throne, and you will be judged. But let a man examine himself, verse 28, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. My goodness, twice Paul is saying to us, watch out, do not eat or drink in an unworthy manner. What does that mean? It means you treat it as common, that you really don't treat God in a way where you live that shows that you've given him all of your heart and all of your life, but you know, you just treat him as common. And God is saying to you tonight, and I'm as a pastor, I can't let you partake because of the consequences when you do partake in an unworthy manner. I have to warn you. I have to stand in front of you and help you to understand. Tonight is your night to make sure that you are right with God. Some of you just came for the party tonight. Well, listen, God had another plan. God's plan was for you to come in his house and for you to make sure that you are right with him. And so I need to challenge you tonight. Some of you, you know, you've never given God all of your heart and all of your life. I want to ask you a question right up front. I ask you, if you should walk out of this place tonight, where would you end up? If you suddenly walk out of here, drop dead, where would you end up? Would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Very important question. Some of you in your heart, you're saying, well, Pastor, I hope I will go to heaven. Or maybe you're saying, I think I will go to heaven. Listen, show me in Scripture anywhere where you can just hope that you'll go to heaven, that you can just think that you're going to go to heaven, that you'll go to heaven. Nowhere in Scripture can you find that. But Pastor, I'm a pretty good person, you know. I really love God. And, you know, I go to church, I pay my tithe, give into the offering. I even help the poor out, give to the poor. Jesus gave us a very clear example about that specifically. In John, the third chapter, he come to a man by the name of Nicodemus. And he says to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, he asked him specifically about the kingdom of God. And Jesus didn't pat him on the back and say, hey, don't worry, Nicodemus, you're going to be fine. He looked him in the eyes and he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And so that's really what God is asking for each and every one of us. And so I know some of you have heard the term born again. You know, Hollywood movies and television, they make fun of that. But it doesn't matter what the world makes born-again people out to be. What matters is what God says. And when God says you need to be born again, then you need to make sure that you give him all of your heart and all of your life, because that's what that means. Jesus, in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, third chapter, Jesus very clearly said, I'm coming again. And when I come, I better find you hot or cold. But if I find you lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Very powerful statement. Very strong statement. Because that's really how God feels when somebody treats the love of Jesus, the love of God, in just some lukewarm fashion. There's no real passion for God. Lukewarm, it means you come to church every now and then, you know, you do your thing to make sure that people think that you're a good person, but you're not really wholehearted running after God. Tonight is your opportunity to make sure that you fix that and that you give God all of your heart and all of your life, because that's the only way we can partake in a worthy manner at the Lord's table tonight. So how are we going to do that? Well, of course, we're going to do it the way Jesus tells us to do that. Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. But if you sit there and deny me, I will deny you, Jesus says. So I'm going to ask you to raise your hand tonight. Right there in your seat, I'd like to pray for you tonight and make sure that your heart is right with God. Some of you, you've never done this. Tonight is your night. Some of you are just not sure. Why don't you make sure tonight? Some of you, you know, you've come to sit at God's table, but you are just not sure if you will partake in a worthy manner. Come on, make sure tonight. Let me pray for you right there in your seat so that your heart can be right with God and you will not be judged and be found guilty. Amen? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to count to three. I'm going to just say one, two, three, just like that. And I want you to raise your hand at that stage. Everybody will do it together, okay? So who should raise your hand? You've never done this before. You're not sure. Tonight, you're not sure if you can even partake of elements. You need to rededicate your heart to God. Tonight's your night. Are you ready? Here it is. One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. Thank you. One, two, three, four, five, all the way back there. Six, seven. Anybody else? Just raise your hand. Seven wise people already. Anybody else? Eight. Thank you. Nine. Thank you. Anybody else? 10. Why don't you make sure? Tonight's your night. 11, 12, thank you. 13, 14, thank you. Anybody else? 15, I see your hand. You may let it down. Anybody else? 15 wise people. Anybody else? 16, I see your hand. 17, I see your hand. Thank God. 18, I see your hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Want to close it down? Anybody else? 18 wise people tonight. 19, I see that hand. Thank you. God bless you. 20, there's another one. Thank you. Praise God. One last sweep. Anybody else over there? Oh, 21 in the family room. Thank you. On this side, anybody? Praise God. 21 wise people. Praise God. Let us give God some praise for 21 wise people that consider this table in a worthy manner tonight. I'm going to ask everybody to just bow your heads right where you're at. And everybody is going to pray this prayer after me, okay? Say, Father God, today is the day that I offer you all of my heart and all of my life. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross and paid the price for all my sin. Please forgive me today. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Help me, Lord, to live for you for the rest of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Congratulations. So glad for each and every one of you. Now you can partake of the elements in a worthy manner. And I want to go back to Scripture and I'll read to you what Scripture says about sitting at God's table. Paul says to us, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now listen, if you would at this time just peel back that cellophane wrapper at the top. Just get ready to partake. Just want to remind you real quick. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says, was broken. And tonight, as you partake of his body, some of you are sitting here tonight and you've received a bad report. Your body is broken in some way, shape, or fashion. And God is saying to you tonight, there's no need for you to carry that brokenness Jesus already paid the price. By his stripes, you are healed. And tonight, as you partake of the bread, you need to partake it in faith, saying, thank you, God. Because of your brokenness, Jesus, I can be whole. Not just my body, but spiritually speaking, my heart. Some of you hearts are broken. The devil would want to keep it that way. Let me tell you tonight, God's desire is for you to have a heart that is restored and whole. That's what the love of God is there for. Tonight, as you partake, I want you to make sure that you remember. Paul says, remember what Jesus has done. And so as you partake, you take that wafer and you partake of this body. Thank God for wholeness, that you can be whole because of his brokenness. Father, thank you for your body, for Jesus' body that was broken for us. As we partake right now, Lord, thank you for miracles that you do. Even as we partake tonight, we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may eat.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When we look at the table of the Lord, where we remember that Jesus had died and the price that he had paid, when I look at that table, I see pain, death, blood, sacrifice. But at that table, I also see victory. I see joy. I see life. I see restoration. You know, and interestingly enough, we're talking about marriage tonight. As I was thinking back over just my personal experience with marriage, if I have to sum it up in two things, I would say a marriage is this way. And I didn't realize it when I was pondering that. When we came to the table, I said, wow, it's the same. You know what? In marriage, there are two things that are very important. First of all, it's to overcome. Because you have things to overcome. You have to overcome flesh. There's dying involved. There's blood involved. There's pain involved. But just like the table of the Lord in marriage, there is also joy. There is also a oneness. There is also restoration. And sometimes in marriage, we have the one without the other. And I tell you, I just want to remind you, that is not healthy. We cannot live in marriages that there's just the death and just the sin and just all the pain and the past and the unforgiveness. It is the will of God that with the pain that also come by itself in marriage, because we people, it is the will of God that we celebrate like we heard this morning, that we grab those moments and get in the moment and laugh and have joy. Just as the table of the Lord, it's the paradox. Isn't that amazing? There's this blood. And then there's this life that we would not have had it not been for the blood of Jesus Christ. So as we look at the blood, the Bible says in the same manner, he also took the cup and after the supper saying, the cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The blood of Jesus is a sign of the new covenant. It's the price that was paid for us to be in covenant, to be restored in relationship with God. The very price that had to be paid for our relationship with God to be restored, that we can now come boldly through Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, into the presence of God. And I just want to speak hope and life into marriages and all kinds of relationships in this place. Listen, the blood of Jesus covers. It covered us. It cleansed us. It heals. It promises. When we talk about the blood of Jesus, we can talk all day long because there is so much wrapped up in it. So what is my responsibility to receive that, but beyond that, go from here and use it. Be a mirror. Be a reflection of that.
into your marriage. Be a reflection into relationships. Why don't you do what Jesus did? Offer yourself, sacrifice, and cover, and love, and speak life, and restore. So we thank you, God, for the blood of Jesus. We just thank you, God. We just thank you, God. Because it is in your blood that there is life that we would not have had, because we are all doomed to hell and damnation without the blood of Jesus. So we take it, Father. And as we participate tonight, we say, thank you, Lord. And help us to be what you want us to be in our lives, our homes, and our relationships, reflecting this very love that paid the whole price. In Jesus' precious name, you may partake.
We want to give you one more tool in your tool belt tonight. I'm going to ask all the married couples, if you would please stand. All the married couples in the house. Take hands, turn towards each other. It's a tool that is amazingly powerful. And whether it's applicable for this moment right here tonight, maybe not, but for sure sometime, maybe even in the near future, it will be very applicable. And you need to learn to use this tool all the time. So I'm going to first ask the men, if you would just repeat after me, okay? And you have to really look her in the eyes when you say this. We call this the reset, okay? Say to her, I know I've hurt you. And for that, I'm really sorry. Would you please forgive me?
And the answer to that, ladies, is like Jesus, yes. Okay, ladies, I'm going to lead you in the same. So would you repeat after me and look at your husband, look at his eyes and say, I know I have hurt you. And for that, I'm truly sorry. Would you please forgive me? And he can answer back. Okay, this is a good time for you to give a big old hug. Big old hug. Just hold it for a second. Just hold it for a second.
Two hearts that beat as one. Our lives have just begun.
Those hugs. Hold it there for a second. That's not so bad.
I'm enjoying the moment.
It's in the house of God. You can hug in the house of God. You have a license.
So this is a tool, guys. You can turn on the music when you're home. Just let those love songs go. And just let go of everything else. You don't have to rehearse anything. And just reset. It is beautiful what happens. And just grab the moment and continue to love like Jesus loved.
So tonight we have a few minutes left. We made sure that we have a few minutes for Pastor Jim and Pastor Deborah to come and to share with us some nuggets that they can share with us for 37 years?
37, right? 37 years? Have you been married?
Yes. 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 Pastor Jim, Pastor
so
Deborah, come share with us.
Are gonna
come on, let's give him a hand.
Just
there's two mics up
nugget.
There. Just bring us those two mics,
okay.
Thank you. And
the wisdom
any
they have,
nugget that
yes.
you have for all these wonderful married couples, come share with us.
Now you behave.
I will.
Okay.
You look so good.
Come on.
Let's get rid of these people and go home. Grandma turns on Grandpa. You know, hi, everybody. Gosh, there's lots of you tonight. Give yourself a hand. So good to be in the house of the Lord. After all these years, Debbie and I are in love more and more and more. And she's just my best friend. And I just can't live without her, don't want to live without her. And can't keep my hands off her. And I just love, I'm not talking about sexual stuff all the time, but I'm not excluding that either. Even though they're very old, and but we're in love. Hey, no, let me just go first. And I just want to share something with you. Whatever it is, and whatever you're going through with Jesus, it's subject to change. A man said to me one time these words, and it just bothered Debbie and I so much. He said, "It is what it is." That's the biggest lie in the world. Jesus Christ can change anything. And in our love, in our relationship, in our marriage, with our children, and now with 12 grandchildren, and one great-grandchild. I keep saying, I'm forgetting that, don't I? It's probably because I haven't met her. And but yet, through all of it, it's been change. And sometimes we just lock in and think that today is just the only day. Everything's never going to change. It's going to be always like this. Whatever frustration there is, whatever disappointment there's been, whatever discouragement you feel, whatever, you know, condition you're in, you think to yourself, well, it's never going to change. And you judge the rest of your life. Listen to this. You judge the rest of your life by how you feel today. With Christ, that's the stupidest thing in the world. Because we're more in love today than we were then. We know how to work out situations now better than we did last year. And we know how to live together and encourage each other. And I can look across the room and know what she's feeling. And she can look across the room like Pastor Dan was saying. And I know, and she knows what I'm feeling. And all of that is about change. And when we first started out, you know, there was fireworks. Everything was wonderful and everything was great. We didn't know how we were going to make life work. Now we know how life works after all these years. And I can look back at it and there was times of great change. God changes us all the time. God builds us. God straightens us out. God encourages us. God directs us. Stop judging tomorrow by today. And start looking to Jesus as the one who can make the future, I don't care how old you are, make the future fabulous. You know, I'm in my 70s, Debbie's 65, and I'm telling you, I have hope in my heart, not because of Deb, not because of the kids, or not because of this church, not because of my retirement or anything such as that. I have hope in my heart because of him. And that's what I mean, is that I am not even set today for tomorrow, because I know he's going to change it. My hope is in him, and he has a great future for all of us. And that's my little word for you tonight. I don't know what you have, but
Well, I think he's funny, and I want to hear a funny story. I think it's a funny story, but I have this little hearing problem in my left ear. It's a long story, but anyway, I can't hear out of it right now. And so we were on our boat sailing to San Diego from Newport Beach, and it's a 10.5-hour sail. It's a long motor sail. You go 5 miles an hour on the ocean, so you're just trudging through. So we were playing Go Fish. And, you know, my husband's always wanted to play strip poker with me, and I say on the boat, no, you can't do that. So and he's always trying. He's trying. We have a license. It's okay. It's geriatric strip poker, so it's all the lights off. Okay, but so we're playing fish. I talk him into saying, okay, I'll play Go Fish with you. So I've got this Go Fish deck of cards, and we're playing. And he says, give me all your shoes. And I said to him, now look, I am not giving you my shoes. We are not playing Go Strip, Go Fish. We're not doing that. You got to be serious about this game. He says, give me all your shoes. And I said, I told you, we're not stripping for fish. And he says, I said, give me all your twos.
And I'm going like, when she said this, she says, oh, stop playing games. Stop messing around. Stop fooling around. And I kept saying, man, I bet she's got 3 twos, you know, because I had one, you know. And I'm going, oh, come on, give me the twos. Give me the twos. She says, oh, stop it. Stop it. And she didn't hear me very good. Give me all your shoes. What the heck has that got to do with a nugget?
It has to do with this. Because life is full of changes and seasons. And things happen in life, and you change. And love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. And I remember, because Jim and I have had an amazing life. I fell in love with him head over heels and just couldn't wait to marry him. And we've been married 37 years, but not all the years have been easy years. There's been a lot of tough times and a lot of hard times. And I think maybe even in this last season, this has been the most challenging with our relationship. And I remember I was walking down the stairs one day, and Jim and I were just at each other, and the Lord was talking to me, the Holy Spirit was talking to me, and he said, you're not submitted. And I said, oh, come on, I know what that is, and I'm trying. And he said, no, you're not submitted to my love. And he instantly took me in my heart, because this is why we hide the word in our hearts, that we don't sin against God. You build a library in your spirit. He took me to 1 Corinthians 13, and I knew what it said. It says, love is long-suffering. Love isn't rude. Love is kind. Love doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. Love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. He said, you are not submitting to long suffering. You're not coming under the authority of kindness. You want to strike back. You're remembering and letting bitterness take hold of your heart because you're remembering the wrongs, and love doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. And all of a sudden, I realized that love is far more than I can imagine. His love, because God is love. And this is a picture of Jesus and the church. And no matter how feeble or how screwed up or how wrong in our thinking or our choices we may get in the seasons of life that we pass through, love will carry us through if we'll submit to it, if we'll realize that love is a person, and his name is Jesus. And he gives us the Holy Spirit, who's the Spirit of Jesus. And he'll give us the strength to submit to patience when we don't want to be patient. He'll give us the ability to forget that harsh remark or that unkind comment and just throw it away and not remember it, because we're submitting when we do that to him. And then love becomes a choice and not a feeling. And no matter what life brings, you'll be able to stay in love with each other, stay loyal to each other, and fall deeply in love. You ever heard the statement, fake it until you make it? You ever heard that? You know what? Act like you love each other. Act like you love each other. And guess what? You will. I promise. You will begin to love each other, won't they?
I'm not acting. I do love you.
I know, and I love you. Now, and you are not playing strip go fish, ever.
I know, or whatever. Go shoes. Give me your shoes.
Little old lady. What can I say?
You know, this is a subject you may think is inappropriate for church. Talk about sex, old people, you know, us, the whole thing, you know, and us kissing all the time and everything. But I want you to know how I feel. I feel it's the place it ought to be talked about. I don't think that this subject of love and sex and caring for each other, anything like that, ought to be talked about just on television with movies and Hollywood people and all the junk that goes on. If any place, it ought to be talked about in the house of God. Why? Because God ordains love. And that's what this is all about. And, you know, we truly love each other. I don't even like being separated from her. And so we try to stay around each other all the time. And sometimes, you know, being around me all the time, I nag her all the time because I want to be with her, I want to hold her hand, I want her to sit next to me, I want her to be near me. You know, the poor thing's can hardly wait to go shopping to get away from me because she knows I'm not going with her.
That is not true. That is not true.
But anyway, the point being is this, is that, guys, every one of you out here, this is the place to talk about these subjects. This is not the place to hide it. The church has hidden the love of God, hidden the subject of sex. We're afraid like sex is a dirty thing. I want you to know the author of sex was God. You know, not the devil and not Hollywood. And don't let them teach your families, but let us be a living witness as we grow older, a testimony of when you do the word of God, it just works. And it gets better and better. I like to say it like this. Our love for each other gets gooder and gooder. Amen.
So we're out of time, but we just want to tell you that I want to tell you one more thing, that my husband was a man of faith more than I knew. When I married him, I didn't know him. I just loved him. Now I know him. And I've watched him grow, and I've watched him become the man that he is today at 70. And he's watched me grow, and he's watched me become the woman that I am at 65. And it's because we took the word of God and we put it first place in our lives. We read it. When we found out that it said for us to do stuff, we did it. We did what it said. And we were like children because we had failed so miserably in our lives when we finally got together that we were afraid to fail again. And if you will bind the word of God around your heart and tie his commandments around your neck, your mother's commandments and the laws of God, according to Proverbs chapter 6, it says that it will lead you when you roam. It will keep you while you sleep, and it will speak to you when you wake up. The word of God will direct your path if you will simply learn it and do it. You will have amazing marriages, and what an adventure of faith you all are on.
I got it. Praise God. Wow, what a night. Did you get something from God tonight? What a great night. Thank you, Pastor Jim. Thank you, Pastor Deborah. You know, it's really true. The tool belt, you've received great tools. In God's word is full of tools. But if you never pull them out and make use of it, you can try to screw some screws in with your fingers. It'll take you forever. You know, nail it with a nail with your fist, it won't work. But you got tools, you just have to use them. Would you stand with me, please?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.